الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. We praise Him. We seek His help. We seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own selves. Whom Allah guides, there is none who can lead him astray. And whom Allah leads astray, there is none who can guide him aright. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, alone and without partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his slave and messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him with the truth as a bearer of glad tidings and a warner ahead of the hour. Verily Allah and his angels send blessings upon the Prophet. O ye who believe, ask blessings upon him and greet him with a worthy greeting. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Ramadan Mubarak to all of you. I would like to start with the ayah. I'm sure you've heard it since Ramadan started, but I'd like to go into a little detail with it, inshallah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem, Bismillahi rahmani rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum siyamu kama kutiba ala ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Sadaqallahu ladhim. We all know this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in translation, O ye who believe, fasting is prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those before you, that you may have taqwa. First of all, Allah is only talking to the believers, because it is only the believers who fast in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other people may fast to clean their colon, or they fast to lose weight, or they fast to get into a dress or a suit or this or that or the other. But the believers fast only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah said that this fasting was prescribed for you. Like a medicine is prescribed for a sick person. That if you take the medicine, you will get the benefit of it. But if you don't take the medicine, you can't get the benefit of it. So it's that critical. In the beginning, fasting was a voluntary thing. In the beginning of Islam, in the early days of Islam in Mecca, the people who wanted to fast could fast, and the people who didn't want to fast didn't fast. And the people who wanted to pay someone or feed the poor in order to get the reward of fasting but not have to fast, they could do that also. And then it became a fard, except for those people who could fast only with difficulty, meaning those people who are old or sick or mothers who are nursing, but not just a healthy person who doesn't want to do it and wants to feed poor people to get the reward. You can't do that anymore if you're capable of fasting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a prescription for you, and he said it was made a prescription for those people who came before you. And who was he talking about? He's talking about the Ahl Kitab, the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. And the Jews, they have a fast that is one day. It's called Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And in this day they fast from Maghrib from one day to Maghrib of the day of Yom Kippur, and all of their sins forgiven for the year. So we know that they had a lot of difficulty with their deen being sincere and obedient to Allah, and Allah made it easy for them for this reason. And then we have the Christians, they have a fast in Catholicism called Lent. I'm sure you've heard of it. It's like 40 days. It comes 40 days before Easter, which is what they consider the resurrection of Isa, alayhi salam, astaghfirullah al-azim. But they fast, but you get to choose what it is you're going to give up for those 40 days. And when I was young, a child and pre-teenager, I used to practice this deen. And I can tell you, of all my favorite things to give up, the least favorite was always the one I gave up. So you could choose. It's kind of symbolic. And these, because the Nasara, they believe in a lot of symbology. The crosses and the statues and the this and the that and all of that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the fast. But we as Muslims, we are, as Allah said, the best of the people that He has raised up to worship Him. And so Allah gave us the most difficult fast in terms of physical. Because of what? Because He wants our taqwa to be high. And He knows that we fast for Allah, strictly. So we have this fast. And Allah says it's so that you can have taqwa. Well, what is taqwa? And how do you get taqwa from fasting? And once you have taqwa, does it stay with you? Or if that's the case, then do we have to fast next year or any of these things? So these are questions that we want to try and understand in our minds so that we can be clear about what Allah is saying to us in this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in another ayah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ya ayyuhalladhina abudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Same outcome. O people, this time he's talking to all the people, probably just the people of the book, but Allahu alam. Worship your guardian Lord who created you and those who came before you, that you may have taqwa. So taqwa, we know, is God consciousness. Some people say fear. Some people say devotion. Some say awareness. And these are kind of vague terms. So if we can try to be a little more specific in understanding what it is that we're supposed to get from fasting and the other acts of worship, because fasting is an act of worship, then maybe we can benefit more. And that's what Islam is about. It's about benefiting as much as you can from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'd like to offer to you another way of understanding taqwa, if you can connect with it. Taqwa is to recognize the first reality of everything, and that is La ilaha illallah. And we all understand that on an intellectual basis, that Allah is Allah, is the Lord of everything, and He's the first reality because He created everything. But there are all the other realities of each one of us devolve from that fact. It evolves from the fact that La ilaha illallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us the circumstances of our lives. And our part is to determine following the guidance of Allah, inshallah, how we're going to deal with the circumstances that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. Remembering that these circumstances are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what I like to call taqwa. Remembering that whatever befalls you comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah has said in His book, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, لَتَرْكَبُونَ طَبَقًا أَنْ طَبَقْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that surely you will go from stage to stage. Your life is not going to stay static. You started out as an embryo, as a sperm drop, then you could become an embryo, then you become a zygote, and then you develop into a human being, and you're a baby, and then you're one, and two, and three, and even in those stages are other stages. So your life is constantly in flux, and so is your taqwa. Because the more you understand the stage that you're in, the better you can deal with it. But how do you understand it? From the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has put guidance into every stage of the human existence. But it is our job to understand that guidance and seek it out from the book of Allah and the examples of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the other anbiya, so that we can apply it to the proper stage that we're in. Because if you don't know what stage you're in, you don't know what guidance to use. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Ramadan. Fasting is a different stage than not fasting, and the rules of fasting are different than the rules of not fasting. And the reward for fasting is different than the reward for when you do the same thing when you're not fasting. So there are guidances in this. But you must have that awareness, that taqwa, in order to do this. Taqwa is essential to having guidance and using guidance as legs are to walking. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That this is guidance, without doubt, sure. For who? For those people who have taqwa. For those people who understand that whatever situation they find themselves in, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah has given them a guidance on how to react to it. If it's something good, something that you like, you feel you're in a good condition, and then you should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are guidances on how to show your gratitude. Through sadaqa, through being helpful to other people, to sharing what you have, to letting people see the nur that Allah has bestowed upon you, remembering the ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And then there's going to be days and moments when you're not feeling all that great. You may feel like you don't know which way is up sometimes. And there is a guidance for this as well. If you remember that Allah knows your condition because He sent it to you. He is the creator of everything. And so when you understand that whatever condition I'm in, Allah knows my condition. And the rule, the guidance for dealing with that kind of condition is one, to be patient, and two, to seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah has said that whatever, if something touches you, nobody can remove it except Allah. And if Allah gives you something, no one can withhold it from you except Allah. And so we have to remember these things, because we forget. We forget very quickly. Adversity comes and we think it's all over. Nobody knows how I feel. Yes, Allah knows how you feel. Allah said He created life and He created death to do what? To test which of you is best in conduct. So when you understand this, you understand I'm going through a stage. I'm going through a stage of this. Sometimes your taqwa is high. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's Ramadan. Once a year is Ramadan. Sometimes, the other times it's not. In Hajj, it's different than not being in Hajj. The Arafat is different. Everything is different. You're different from when you woke up this morning. So these are the stages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. But through all of these stages, La ilaha illallah, inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir, never changes. Never changes. And the guidance that you can call on Allah in whatever condition you are is always there. And to show you how people don't think, I'm sure most of you know Dennis Prager. Sometimes I listen to him because I like to see what the opposition is up to. But he made a statement on his radio program a couple of weeks ago. He said that the first creation was light. And I thought about that and I said, well, if the first thing Allah created was light, who created the darkness? Somebody else? No. Light is not created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heaven and the earth. Allah is not created. The darkness is the created thing. The darkness is the absence of the light of Allah, and then Allah, then his rahmah sends his mercy into the darkness he created to bring you out of the darkness into the light. But people don't think. They don't connect with this ultimate reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't give it the proper thought and the proper reaction that it should have. It says in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be mindful of Allah and you will find him before you. This is from Tirmidhi. This doesn't mean that you're going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of your face. No. If you remember Allah in all of your circumstances, then what begins to happen when the taqwa grows in your heart is you start to see the hand of Allah in everything that happens to you. And therefore, people no longer have power over you. The things of this dunya no longer have power over you because you see, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the hadith means. There's another hadith on authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whosoever shows enmity to a friend of mine, I shall be at war with him. My servant does not draw near to me with anything more loved by me than the religious duties I have imposed upon him. And my servant continues to draw near to me with the supererogatory or nafil works so that I shall love him. And when I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears, his seeing with which he sees, his hand with which he strikes, and his foot with which he walks. Were he to ask something of me, I would surely give it to him. And if he were to ask me for refuge, I would surely grant it to him. This is from Bukhari. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you do the fard, the fasting, and Ramadan, and the cause, and all the other fard acts of the salah and so forth, then, and beautify these acts with the nafl, with the ones that are not imposed upon you, then Allah loves you. And when Allah loves you, then he becomes your hearing, and then you start to hear from what Allah said. You hear something, you say, Allah said that. You see something, you say, Allah said that, showed me that. Your tawakkul in Allah becomes vast, and you can in a sense, see Allah and move through the world under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if there was a map for you. This is what happened to Miriam. with Allah sent her food in her chamber, and Zakaria radiallahu anhu came to her radiallahu anha and said, "Ya Mary, where'd you get this?" She said, "I don't know." She said, "Min Allah. This is from Allah." With no amazement. And Allah will do the same thing for you if you get your taqwa to that level. Allah will feed you. Allah will clothe you. He said that. He'll be your hands, He'll be your eyes, He'll be your feet, and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that we must know that between a man and his heart, the things he desires, there is Allah. And this is a wonderful gift from Allah, that for the people who believe in Allah, they filter everything through the words and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes out the other side, it is purely what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. This is something that's hard for us to do on a consistent basis, but if we ever taste any of it, it's like drinking from a river in paradise. We want to drink more. We want to have more of this. So may Allah bless us to feel some of this in our hearts so that we can develop the appetite for that and diminish the appetite for this hayat ad-dunya, and increase our appetite for the hayat al-akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the nur of the heavens and the earth, and He has given us every good thing to draw close to Him. May Allah help us to keep this in remembrance. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah lakum. Udhu Allah. Can we move forward? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, 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 la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he said something very important. I always said a lot of things important, but on this point too, he said for the mankind, three things are very difficult. He said one is to pay what you owe willingly. He said to remember Allah in all circumstances, and to lend money to your brother when he's in need. The first two, we know. I mean, the first one and the last one, we know. We know the difficulty of that. But sometimes we don't contemplate the difficulty of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every circumstance. And that's what we're talking about. To take every moment that we can of this life, because none of us knows how many that we have, and remember Allah and see Allah, and try to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See the action of Allah in your life and acknowledge it and be grateful for it, and ask Allah to show you even more, so that Allah becomes your hands and your feet and your eyes and your hearing. And in the Yawm al-Qiyamah, you will be one of those in possession of the Nafs al-Mutmainah, the soul that is pleased with Allah and pleasing to Allah. Let us ask Allah to give us the wherewithal to use the rest of what we have of our lives and the rest of what we have of this month of Ramadan to move closer to Him, to open our hearts, to move in the direction of the Akhirah and a little bit further away from the Hayat al-Dunya. اللهم اكف للمسلمين والمسلمات المؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات يا رب العالمين ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقيموا الصلاة.